Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers on Father's Day. And so if there's any fathers out there who are listening to the show, I would like to offer my special congratulations for what you have and do contribute to the world. I would say we all look up to a father. It just seems to me that what a father offers the family and what the mother offers to the family is such a perfect grouping between the two, and if done right, there is great harmony. And let us hope that this day finds you in harmony along with your family, and so I extend my congratulations to you. I think perhaps with in today's world, with all of the distractions that we have, it's probably difficult being a father. I know sometimes it's difficult being a mother. There's always choices that we have to make, and sometimes it's not easy. For those who would like to call in and have a reading, a personal reading from the Akashic Records, the Universal Akashic Records, which are located in the center of the cosmos, give me a call at 877-876-5227. And if you're calling from Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And if there are people out there who perhaps have never listened to this show before, as we do have new listeners joining the network all the time, let me tell you a little bit about the Akashic Records, because there are different places where records are located. And if this is a topic that is of interest to you, if you go to my website at www.carolynevers.com, and that's CarolynEvers.com, there is a place where you would enter a doorway, so to speak, where you would enter the Akashic reading portion. And there is an article there that describes the different places where Akasha is located. Of course, the first place would be in our own etheric record that surrounds our physical body, located in the emotional level of that body. So, in a sense, everything that we do, our thoughts, our actions, this is all recorded. And it's not that someone else is doing the recording. We actually are. And it is an energetic recording. It is a vibrational recording. And when we die, those records pass on to another level, so that there are earth records where it is like an earth history. Everything that has ever happened here on the earth plane is recorded. And it seems like when I read from the earth records, I'm taken to what almost looks like a cave inside the earth. So I know it's not really, but it is something that my human mind can recognize. And I think we have a caller. Your name?
Hey, Carolyn, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
How you doing?
You know, I always say I do it the best way I know how. Sometimes I have found, though, it hasn't been good enough, but I keep working on it. What can we do for you, Susan?
Well, I don't know if you remember, I called you probably a couple of months back about going to Glastonbury, England.
Oh, a favorite place of mine, just beautiful. So did
yes.
you get there?
Yeah, I went in May.
Oh, tell me about it.
It was awesome. It was truly awesome. Visited the tour, went to the Chalice Well, went to
mm-hmm.
Wales,
mm-hmm.
and had some very awesome, powerful things to happen, actually. Was walking around the city and went in to, I said, well, I'm going to treat myself since I do things for other people. I'm going to treat myself and go get a healing massage, energy work, something like that.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And so I did. I went in and just picked this lady to do the work. And what was very interesting with that is while I was on the table being worked on, I started getting information to ask her.
Don't you just love it?
So I started asking her what I was being told, and she started crying and saying, "You're right." And, I mean, it was an awesome experience. I ended up working on her while she worked on me.
I don't think anybody ever goes to Glastonbury and nothing extraordinary happens. It's an extraordinary place.
It is. It was truly extraordinary.
And so what else, anything else that you might want to discuss that happened there?
Well, I do want to, the reason I'm calling, I do have a question about something that did happen there.
Okay.
And when I stayed in Bath, England,
mm-hmm.
and so we moved from there. That's where we went from. But I had a dream while I was
there. Before you get there, are you talking about Bath, England, where the Roman baths were?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's, oh, golly, we should be on a tour together. That's a fascinating place. We'll get to that after we get to your dream.
Yeah. And I had a dream, you know, one of those dreams that wasn't a dream, but it was a dream.
It seemed very real.
Yes, it was real, and there was someone talking to me in the dream. And the only thing that I...
Did you get their name? I have to laugh, because, you know, they never leave their names while they're talking to you.
No, I didn't get a name. It was just that voice that kept repeating the same thing over and saying, "Do not forget this, remember this. When you wake up, remember this, remember this." One of those, so I remembered it.
Oh.
But it was, they told me to remember the date of November the 5th. They said, "November the 5th is an important date. Remember this, remember this." But while they were telling me that, they said, "Look at that number and tell me what you see." And I said, "Well, November is an 11. And, of course, the 5th is a 5. And if you add 5, 1, 1, that's a 7. And they said, "That is correct." And I said, "That's also my life path number." And they said, "That's correct."
That's now, a what path number did you say? I didn't hear.
My life path number is a 7.
Oh, your life path number. Okay. Uh-huh.
And so the November the 5th, 5, 1, 1 is a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I did meditate on this and ask what this was, but the only piece I didn't get all the pieces, and I really don't know what it is, but I saw the 5 and the 1 and 1 is a 7, and then I saw the year 2007, and then I saw a 7 on the end, 7 on the end, and a 2 in the middle. And when you bring the 7 to the 2, that's a 9, and the 7 to the 2, that's a 9. And so that was what I was left with. And so I was calling to see if you could clarify what that November the 5th is about for me.
I don't know. This is interesting. Susan, have you ever listened to Visible by the Numbers with Allison Bachman?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my golly, this is a question that you need to ask her. Not that I'm not going to try to get some information for you, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, she could really give you some in-depth information on this. She is so awesome, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me, before I go to the cherubim and see what they have to say, as you are awakening from this dream, what were your feelings then, your emotions?
Actually, I was very excited because it was almost like I had been given a piece of information, because it seemed to be something in the future that I was going to be working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it felt like it was a completion of mm-hmm. something for me, another huge shift, if you will.
I ask you that, Susan, because I think it's important to recognize the emotion that one feels when they wake up and explore that. Something that you might do is meditate on that that emotion and see if you come up with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my most important information, I do believe, has been discovered with going with that emotion. But let me see what we can find out for you. Give me a minute.
Okay.
And let us ask our ladies. I say ladies, though they are androgynous. But the cherubim have a great sense of love and feeling for the human race and want to help. And so they give that appearance of, shall we say, a mother connection. So give me a second, and we'll see what we can find out for you, Susan.
Thanks.
I see them standing there, and they have your record. They show me a person's record in the form of a book, though I know that it's not a book. It's actually a swirling vibrational circle that runs in, compacted into a tight circle that is on a magnetic spot. But they show it to us as a book because it is something that we as humans can relate to. And before, well, they had the book opened, but then they closed it again, and they wanted me to look at the cover. And on the cover, most covers are plain. Most covers are plain brown, which is indicative of those born under the ray of love. Your cover is not plain. I'm looking at your cover, and it almost looks like a whirlpool of water on the front. It is whizzing by, actually, very quickly, and going within. There is colors of aqua in that. And it sparkles. It is, it looks like it, if you're standing very close to water, if you're standing close to a stream, and you have that sense of those little white particles that have been whipped up as they go around a little eddy, some stones or something, this is exactly how it looks. And they wanted me to look there first because this is a geometric shape that has been placed on your record. These geometric shapes are placed on a record when that record has been requested by source, and the cherubim compacted in a certain fashion turn the record over to source, and source reviews the record and then gives it back to them. And so, first of all, they wanted me to tell you that your record was one that source had requested and had reviewed and had turned it back to them. This does not happen with all records, and that is why they wanted me to tell you that from this point of view, your record indeed is a special record.
Hmm.
And the review by source wasn't just for this lifetime, but source really doesn't, how should I express this, in the spiritual realm, they really don't look at it so much as like lifetime based upon lifetime, but rather a journey. And even though we come into this lifetime in segments, so to speak, because we have taken on the physical and passed over and come back and reincarnated, spirit looks at it more as a journey. It's almost... And the cherubim are showing me a string of pearls. That will be a good way to express this, is that our experiences is like a string of pearls, and each pearl in the string would be like a lifetime. And so they look at the different lifetimes as a string of pearls. And each pearl would be like a particle of that soul that was sent into the earth plane, that actually what you are destined to do today is, in a sense, interlock with other experiences and these other beings that you have been in the past, so that it is all a progression. And they wanted me to go this route with you because what is in your, I want to say not so much near future, but what is designated by this date is not necessarily something that has been set up by you as the entity that you are that calls yourself Susan, but rather it has been a project that has been worked upon and carried forth by each one of these pearls, so to speak. And when you were created, you had there was a certain plan set forth that was planted deep within your heart that you respond to in a certain fashion. And what this is signaling, this is your signal that the a new part of your mission is opening for this pearl, so to speak, but it is a culmination of all of these other pearls that you have been, that is connected to this string. And that means that you are playing a role that is fulfilling all the dreams and aspirations from all of your other past lifetimes, and that the other lifetimes that you have lived, those essences, are at hand to offer you their help and their ability, you might say their understanding, because what you're about to do in your present mind, you're not going to understand this. You don't have the experience unless you think of yourself as this pearl in this lifetime, being able to represent and carry on all of the ability and the experiences from all of these other pearls that are on the string. And you are carrying within you a piece of destiny, and what that destiny is your direct connection to the vibrational way for Source. That we've talked about this in the past, Susan, that we had at one time a direct acknowledgement, a direct hearing, a direct feeling, understanding of the source of love as it came forth from Source. And that was cut, it was severed in Atlantis when we fell into this dense dimension. It was not intended that we fall into such a dense dimension, but it happened because of the events that surrounded us in Atlantis. And so these pearls that are on the string, your forerunners, so to speak, had come time and time again to work on picking up this connection, and that there has always been a strong, for lack of a better word, psychic abilities, though they're showing me that this is the natural abilities of soul, that you have carried this through all of your lifetimes, and you are waking up to this at this moment because it is a memory. You have been able to connect those on the other side all through your many lifetimes. You have, again, forgotten it, as we all forget this when we come into this lifetime. But now is the time when you are going to be picking up those abilities, and you you feel to a certain extent that you are psychic and you are working with those abilities, but this is just the beginning. You are going to be, like they said earlier, waking up to your destiny. This is your destiny for this particular lifetime, to remember. And this is the spiritual roots, to remember the spiritual roots. And perhaps that is why they were telling you to remember, that moment, because this is the completion. The completion is that you, along with so many others, have made this circle, so to speak. We have made a circle in this journey, and now we're coming back to the ending. And they're showing me this string of pearls where there is now the clasp, so to speak, where you could connect the two ends so it makes the necklace full and complete, back to where it was in the beginning, to be able to remember and feel that vibrational wave as it comes from Source, and feel Source's love so that you know who and what you are, an extension of Source.
Very cool. Yeah, I knew all of that.
Did. Now, I do have a question, though. Do you feel that you are opening up to the other side, that your senses are, how shall we say, honing into the life of spirit on the other side?
Oh, absolutely, and I think that was part of my trip to Glastonbury, what it did, because I, when I connected to the one woman that was working on me, and I mean, I literally started channeling stuff about her, and I went back to her childhood. I knew nothing of this, and she was standing there saying, "You're right, you're right, you're right." And she emailed me and told me I had changed her life in that moment.
Don't you love it?
And she had been blocking something in herself, and then all of a sudden, because I was there for her to work on, and I got this information, and I didn't freak out or hold it back or say, you know, I don't know this lady, and I'm not going to do it. I gave it up, and she said everything I said was absolutely correct. So I saw it at that moment growing from what it had been. And the interesting thing is when when I was coming back, sitting on the plane, there were people that I connected to. I had emails of people that I connected to. Even the lady when I flew back to Atlanta was working with shamans. I mean, and the lady I went with, she says, "This is strange. Everybody that you sat next to on the plane for all the trips, they do the same thing you do." And I said, "Yeah, that was not an accident."
Now, I have a question for you, Susan.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to go back to Glastonbury?
It was an interesting trip. I worked for a lady who always wanted to go to England, and I said, "Well, you know, I did too." And so she paid for this trip to go.
Cool.
I mean, everything was paid for. She had a limo and a driver to take me back to Glastonbury so I could spend the day there. And she let me pick in England where I wanted to go and visit.
Well, that's very cool. Now, tell me, why did you want to go to Glastonbury? There's a reason why I'm asking you this. I'm not cross-examining you.
Oh, that's okay. I don't mind. I was actually drawn to the tour. And I was drawn to the tour from things that I had felt and heard, because Mother Mary had told me she would be working with me. And I felt that connection there, that I was to go there, and I didn't know if it was going to be an activation, which I thought it was, but I had to be at the tour. And the interesting thing was, the day that I went to the tour and actually went up to it was the clearest day, and you could see forever. every other day was cloudy and misty and you couldn't see anything.
That's cool.
It was just like it was meant to be. Every single thing that happened to me from the time I left to the time right now.
Well, the reason that I asked Susan is because the cherubim are, they are showing me an image. And it is one of your pearls that we talked about on the necklace. And she was female and had a long robe. And the it wasn't exactly a brown, like we look at brown, and it wasn't a gray. I suspect that the cloth was probably dyed from some root that made this color. She's probably medium height, looks like a little cloak around her shoulder in the same color. And she's wearing a rather fitted bonnet on her head out of the same fabric. She was, the word wouldn't have been nun, but she would have been one of the faithful women who were there in the early settlement. This would have been one of the very early settlements there, and there is a connection there with Mother Mary at that location. I'm not sure how long Mother Mary was there, or if I don't have the sense of a long period of time. There was a church that was dedicated to Mother Mary. I don't think there are the remains there any longer, but Mother Mary played a very great part in that lifetime. The devotion, I think that is probably the word, the devotion and the commitment that this woman had to Mother Mary at that particular location. And I'm wondering if you had the sense of connecting to her when you were there. Did you have this sense of this female presence?
I felt like I connected before I went, actually. When I was actually at the top of the tour, it was more of a sense of the heart opening and compassion just sort of flowing in. I didn't get a sense of her specifically then, but I know something definitely happened on top of that place.
Well, the what the cherubim are showing me is that individual, and they're not giving me a name because they're saying the name is really not important. What is important is the essence, the devotion, the commitment, the duty, and the love of that individual is what is important to you and not the name. And it was the connection to her essence that you went back to the land that she loved, to the land that was extremely important to her, and that is what you connected with. That opening that you felt was part of the connection that you had with her, one of your past pearls.
Yeah.
So you, it seems, my dear, are in for a glorious ride.
Oh, it's been interesting up to this point. I just can't wait.
I think it's going to be even more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I hold on to the strap that's on my chair so I don't get carried away.
Fasten that seatbelt, right?
Yeah, I think you're definitely in seatbelt country.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
So, where did you go when you were in Bath, Susan?
Well, I went to the Roman Baths and really just walked the city. And, oh, it was very interesting because we stayed at a little place where we walked over the little river there. I mean, names are escaping me. But there was a little park area that you had to go down through the building and down around right next to the water where you could get on the boat. And I looked up and I went, oh, my God, there's a labyrinth.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, right in the middle of town, you know, where you would pick the boats up.
Wow.
They go into the city. There was a labyrinth, and in the center of the labyrinth, you know, it was a mosaic, and you couldn't really tell it until I took the picture and looked at the picture, and it was a picture of a man's face.
Wow.
Is
that cool or what?
Yeah, it's cool.
I was in, I had been to Bath also, and of course, whenever I'm in, shall we say, travel, my Romans seem to like to go with me, and especially Julius Caesar. When I'm in any area that has anything to do with Rome, he is right there. And so he said to me, you had to go through a little doorway to see when you were in the Roman baths. You had to go through a little doorway to see the remains of the temple there. Did you by any chance, did you by chance notice that door and go into the old temple down where the baths were?
Yeah, where you go in and around and they have.
Yes. I was so fascinated by the fact, I don't know if you noticed this, there were two angels on the top of the temple archway. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Well, I was so fascinated to see angels on that Roman temple.
Yeah.
But, Caesar said that was something that I needed to see was that temple and how the places, you know, they had great reverence for natural phenomena, and they gave the names of gods and goddesses to earth energy that we don't always understand that, that we, you know, that they have actually assigned a name of a god or a goddess that represented the earth energies that were found there. So I found that whole place so fascinating.
Yeah, and what I found fascinating were there were Egyptian artifacts, dolls there.
Yes.
That I looked at, but the most interesting thing within those little artifacts were safety pins. They
You're
had
kidding.
Safety pins made of metal. I'm going, oh my gosh! Okay, this is how they held that stuff together.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they found them at the bottom of the pool, and they dug them out, and they had them, you know, on display. But there were metal safety pins. Looks just like the ones we have today, except they were all rusted, you know.
Oh, that is so fascinating. I also find fascinating how the waterworks are still working the way the Romans built it, the overflow.
They had lead pipes, too.
Yeah, I that whole thing is so fascinating. The church, the cathedral next to the bath is located on top of a vortice. I don't know if you had an opportunity to go in there.
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Are you sensitive to energy?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you feel the energy of that particular cathedral?
It was real funny because it was almost like I was turned on the whole time I was gone. And there were energies just coming and going and coming and going. It was almost, there was so much I couldn't differentiate between this and that. I guess I had such a huge connection to it. I was one big chill bump, you know.
Well, in the different cathedrals, at least the ones that I had been in when I was in England, some vortices, the energy would go into the earth, and some vortices in one of the cathedrals, the energy would leave the cathedral and go back into the cosmos. And at that particular church, right in middle of the cross section, in the middle of the cathedral, there was a vortice there where energy was coming into the earth from the cosmos at that point, which it was kind of interesting standing in there and feeling that energy go into the ground underneath the church. And when did you get to the Salisbury Cathedral by chance? Salisbury, you might not have.
Mm-mm. I did go to Stonehenge.
Oh, isn't that a fascinating place?
Yeah, it's fascinating. But I didn't feel a connection to that like I did the other places.
Mm-hmm.
I did bring some pictures back that I had put into a really nice frame that they had taken of Hellbop and different phenomenon like that. That's very cool. Just got it back yesterday.
When I was at Salisbury, well, I had gone on a trip with three other ladies, and we were there at night. It was such a clear night, and we could literally see the energy that came from the cathedral out of the middle, went up into the air, and then the air at the higher dimension, higher levels, kind of carried it off. It almost looked like a pale blue wisp of smoke.
Wow.
The night was that clear that you could see it. It was the first time I really had seen energy, but that's what I have found at the different energy places, that it's like the earth is breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It breathes in and it breathes out. It's,
right.
It's part of this energy exchange with the cosmos. Fascinating stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Hope to go back to Aper.
Well, Susan, you went the
Aper.
Best way, dear.
Huh?
You had somebody. You went the best way. You had somebody pay you.
It was a gift.
Is that cool?
That is so cool. Absolutely. And I got to pick where I wanted to go. That was just so cool.
That was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Susan, bless you, darling. I just think you're on a fascinating part of your journey right now. And what can I say other than enjoy the rush?
Absolutely. Every day is an adventure. It really
Isn't it?
Is.
It yes. truly is.
Thank you so much.
You take care, dear.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that gave, for those of you who might be out there listening, it gives you a little indication of what can be unearthed, so to speak, from our records or from the accumulation of our records. It is a fascinating thing, and one of the things that fascinates me so is when we get into a description of what it was like when the Creator created individual souls, because the language that... Oh, we have another caller, apparently, and your name?
Andrita.
Andrita.
Yes.
Hi, Andrita.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Oh, that's good.
So what prompts you to call us? You must have some sort of a question.
I ain't called in a long time online. I just want to see what you can pick up, if you pick up anything on me.
Andrita, we have to give a question, and this is not like a psychic greeting where somebody is picking up energy around a person.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually going into your records and getting an answer. And the reason we need to focus this in some direction is because you have had so many lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
so many experiences from the time that your soul was created until now, so that this record is extremely large.
Mm-hmm.
So can you think of something that, some area perhaps that you might want to explore?
My career probably.
Okay, now you want to ask something about your career. From what point of view? You're trying to accomplish something that perhaps hasn't come to pass yet? Or is there a choice that you have to make? What is it about your career that you want to focus on?
If it's the right direction I should go in, because I want to I want to try to enter school this fall for a course, and I want to try to complete it. But I think it's going to take me a while to complete it. But I want to know if I can should I go to do that, if that's for me, you know.
Okay, I think this would be a good question. In other words, you want to know if you've made a right decision. Is that the question?
Yes.
What's the course that you want to take?
The course is human services, and then the ultimate goal for me is the community care coordinator.
Community care coordinator?
Yes.
And what is that, like coordinating, like working for the government where they're coordinating different services in a community?
Yeah, I believe so. I need to do some research on it, but I know that it's like social work. Got to deal with probably social work and things like that, close to it, you know.
Okay, so you're in the process of choosing a certain area to do your life's work, and you want to know if this suits you, if you would be what might be considered successful in it, but perhaps more than that, make you happy. So
yes.
Is that a fair thing to say? You're looking for something that would satisfy you plus provide the resources for you?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought might be in your mind. It seems to me that you have a love for children. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I do love children. I love them, you know. I love them. I want to make sure that the kids are getting the right education and they're getting taken care of and their parents getting the help they need, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of times the kids and their parents aren't getting the help they need, you know.
Andrita, give me a moment. Let me connect and see what we can offer you by way of assistance with regards to your choice. So give me a moment, dear.
Okay.
One of the cherubim have stepped forth. They show themselves as a female angel. And she is standing there. She appears to be very tall and I would say thin, very elegant. And she has your record. And this particular cherubim was chosen to bring forth your record because
mm-hmm.
She has a connection to the kind of work that you're talking about doing.
Mm-hmm.
This particular cherubim not only works with records, but she works with the energies that are sent to Earth that have to do with community service.
Mm.
And that is why she stepped forth with your particular record.
Ooh.
And what she is saying is that you have a nobility of spirit. In other words, your soul has which was implanted in your soul when your soul was created by God or Source or all there is, whatever word you use to describe the Supreme Being,
mm-hmm.
That he is showing me a picture of a color. There is a swirling pink with a tremendous amount of white light behind it, and that is a very forceful. When I say forceful, not that it's forcing its way into your heart, but
mm-hmm.
forceful in the sense that there was much of this love power, much of this love force that brought forth the particles from Source that created your soul. And so what was imbued in your soul was this, we were talking about a concept of helping in the community,
mm-hmm.
of not just children, but the aged, those who are infirm, that what was planted into your soul was a wide acknowledgement of the needs of humanity on all different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so if any form of work that you did where you would be what might be considered a community servant, one who serves others, whether it was the infant, the growing child, or one that needed health care, the elderly. And she is underlining the word compassionate, that you have this great compassionate reservoir that was placed inside of your heart. Any job, any calling that you could fill that would mean that would have those requirements to it would bring you happiness. Mm-hmm. That this is the thing, this kind of service is what makes you as a human being happy and content. And that this is a great thing, is to find what makes the heart content. That there are many people out there who are working, they're working with in a job that does not make them the content, that does not bring the satisfaction, and this would bring you satisfaction. To prepare yourself to fulfill that kind of job would bring you satisfaction, but it would also be important for you to prepare for the kind of job that would bring you the financial, that would suit your financial requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from my point of view, my advice, Carolyn Evers, would be that I would do research. Apparently, are familiar with the computer. Do some searches in this field and find the kinds of jobs that would cover this kind of service, and then see the educational requirements that are needed. So, in other words, the cherubim are telling you: number one, you have chosen a field that would make you content and balanced, because that is the way your soul was created. But the other piece that you need to put with that is to make certain that you are taking the right courses that are going to prepare you for the job that would fulfill those requirements. So it sounds, Andreita, like number one, you're on the right path, but number two, that it seems that what you need to do is to do a little bit of research, make sure that the classes that you're taking is going to be the kind of classes that is what you need for the job that you might apply for, and then look and see all the different kinds of job openings that are available in the field. You might want to go to the library and ask the library, tell the librarian that you are interested in something in human services. Ask for, they have some books there on occupations. Look through these occupational books, especially in the human service area, and see what kind of jobs are available. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, it definitely does.
Yes. That is what I would do, dear.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like you're on the right path. Just do a little bit of homework with it.
Okay. Wow, thank you so much.
Blessings to you, Andreita.
You're welcome. Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I feel particularly in awe when the cherubim, when we do a reading, like we have what we, on these two particular calls, we kind of have given a little piece of what a person might want to know, but when we do a full-blown reading, we go from the time that the soul was created, the colors that were called to that moment when God created the soul, the kinds of inclinations that were implanted into the soul, and the kinds of missions that that entailed. In other words, through all the different lifetimes, the kind of missions that would attract an individual who had those kinds of components implanted into their very being. And I did a reading just yesterday, and the language was just so beautiful. The words have been given many times as to how God or Prime Creator envisioned a plan for the cosmos. And it was very detailed. And Source was too large in its components to be able to go out into the void, which had to be divided into dimensions to make the cosmos, to experience possibilities. And so Source decided that there would be particles of Source that would be called forth, and these particles would be compounded in such a way that the particles then became our soul, and we as souls went out. We were a smaller component of Source. We could go out and explore and enjoy and create in a manner that Prime Creator couldn't do because we had the mobility that Prime Creator did not have. And there was apparently a very large platform, sort of like a work table that the cherubim describes that was before the Creator, when the Creator created souls. And the space, we are told, was so immense that it would be very difficult for humans to even comprehend something this large during the creation of souls, that if we were to look at it, it would seem that we were looking into eternity. So there was the plan. And each of us were called to fulfill a part of the plan. That, to me, is what is so beautiful, is, yes, there's a lot of souls just on this planet, but each of us were called forth for a particular mission. We fulfill a particular part of this immense, very detailed plan that Prime Creator had designed. And so there was desire. The Creator had to have desire to bring forth the souls. And there's a little paragraph in this reading. I just wanted to read it to you. To me, it was so beautiful because they're talking about the desire of the Creator when souls were created. When this soul who had asked for this reading was brought into spiritual form, and here's what it says. The desire of the Creator was so great that it set up eddies and vortices in this great expanse of love, and what we see next seemed to be an explosion of gargantuan proportions. Pouring forth from the Creator were light particles, as indeed the Creator is light, of such brilliant proportions that even we cannot peer into it but as a reflection. We must shield the brilliance of this act in some fashion, as the intensity of the light is overwhelming even to us cherubim. For those who perhaps might not be familiar with the cherubim, they are, there is Source, Prime Creator, and around that is a band that is oval-shaped. That is the seraphim, that the love that comes forth from the Creator is reflected in that band of seraphim, and the seraphim reflect back love, this energy, this vibration of love back to Source, so that it is like a breathing in and a breathing out of love. Source sends out the love to the seraphim, and the seraphim in their work reflected back to Source. Source is continuously bathed in this love. The next band around Source is the cherubim. The cherubim work with vibration. the upper level of the cherubim carry vibration throughout the entire cosmos. They pick up the vibration from source. They make a gigantic trip, so to speak, with that around the entire cosmos. Everything that is in the cosmos is imprinted upon this vibrational wave, and then it goes back to source again, and there is a continual movement. The lower level of vibration are the cherubim that hold these records for source. And if you think of all the souls that have ever been created, we're looking at a lot of records here. So that band of cherubim is responsible for holding those records, turning them over to source when source has a question. And source is continuously given the information, you might say almost like reading a computer tape of everything that goes on in the cosmos. But there are times when source wants to know the interplay between the soul and the creation, and therefore source asks for individual records to actually see the interchange, investigate, explore, understand the interchange of the emotion between the soul and between between the creation of matter itself. So I'm going to stop on this reading. We'll talk about it next week, because we are getting down to the end of the show. It's interesting how fast an hour goes when you're having fun, isn't it? So what we are saying, my dear friends, is if you want to know more about these records, go to www.carolynevers.com. There's some interesting articles about the Templars, who the Templars were, why they did the work that they did. There's another article about all of the layers of vibration and where all these records are located. I find that very fascinating. And then if you go to the website, up at the right-hand corner at the very top, there is a space for conference calls. Do look at that. Archangel Michael is working with us once a month, where he is teaching a class on working with electrons, because we're moving into the higher dimensions. The electrons work differently. And then we also have classes that are being done with the light body. That is Master Kasumi. And somebody just beeped in, and I think we've got to get off of that. Goodbye, everyone. Good talking with you. Hi there.